Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, July 23rd, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 73, paragraph 3, starting with, psychologists are inclined to agree with us. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 steps, Christina J. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Sherry K.B., Julie E.B., and Christina J. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Thursday, July 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting are 17,404. That's 17,404. And for this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 17,412. That's 17,412. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lorraine.
Thank you, Brandy. Good morning. This is Lorraine N., recovering compulsive overeater from Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read the steps. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine, for your service. I'll now ask Christina J. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Grateful. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Christina. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 73, the third paragraph, starting with psychologists are inclined to agree with us. I will now ask Sherry KB to begin reading. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Brandy M. and Team Friday. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. We have spent thousands of dollars for examinations. We know but few instances where we have been given these doctors a fair break. We have seldom told them the truth, whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. Unwillingly to be honest with these sympathetic men, we were honest with no one else. Small wonder many in the medical profession have a low opinion of alcoholics and their chance for recovery. So I just want to say I appreciate so much this book and how one paragraph leads to the next, it invites us into the next one. So as it talked about in the previous one about living a double life and how that works, and then here I'm going into a psychologist to talk about my issues. And what I do know is my own path around a therapist is that I never seemed to pick one that understood my disease. So therefore, I had the excuse not to talk about it. Even if they brought it up, I would never talk about it. I'd refuse to talk about it. When I think of the medical profession, when I would go into even a doctor's office to be weighed, I'd refuse to weigh. I'd say, what are you, the weight police? Are you going to arrest me? You know, just I'd lied. I lied so much about all this. And, you know, the thing is this chapter is into action, into honesty. And, you know, it says half measures availeth nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and his care with complete abandon. So, you know, it's layers of getting more honest to me is what I think about. And my road to with therapy through the years has been, you know, I haven't been honest with them about stuff and having half truth or whole truth. You know, it asks us to be honest, to be whole, to have the whole truth. And, you know, I told half the truth. You know, I would tell them what they wanted to hear, or I'd say, yeah, I did something when I didn't. And, you know, the truth is God isn't in this at all. So, you know, and I think of, you know, progress, not perfection. And the more times I do the steps, which I'm back in the steps again, the more honesty comes up for me because I can see where I've been dishonest in things, and I can still be dishonest with certain things, and I'm talking about more emotional things and not being actually honest with myself on some things. So I think it's really interesting that I would pick people who either didn't understand the disease or if they wanted to talk to me about it, I would use that excuse, well, you don't understand my disease, so why would I even talk to you about it? How interesting is that? So I just know that the more I work these steps, the more honest I can be with you and myself. And it's peeling those layers of honesty and always turning to my higher power. I mean, that's the thing. God helps me be a better person. Because we can all sound great on this line for 3 minutes, but what are we like in our homes and in our families? And that's what I think about a lot. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much for getting us started. Great share. All right. So we'll now open up the lines for three-minute pitches. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And so who would like to share? Please only say your name once.
Lauren A.
Lauren A. Who else would like to share?
Dawn M.
Dawn M.
Jordan L.
Christina J.
Jordan L. Christina J.
Jody.
Anyone else? Jody E. You guys are being so awesome.
Kathleen.
We're happy, Jody. Kathleen O. All right. So that's a good lineup. I have Lauren A. I have Dawn M. Jordan L. Christina J. Jody E. And Kathleen O. All right. So we'll start with that. So, Lauren A., please go ahead. Star one to unmute, Lauren.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Lauren A. from Northern Minnesota. This is a great paragraph. I listened to the earlier meeting, and I heard some really great stuff about honesty or lack thereof. My mom sent me to a psychologist when I was in high school, I imagine because I was a total pain in the ass to live with, and I didn't even talk to the guy, you know, it was ridiculous. And I've been to psychologists since, but I don't, you know, I think it's taken me all these years in 12-step programs to learn more about me than I could ever get out of working with a psychologist. And my two biggest lies have always been, I'm not that bad, and I don't need help. And of course, I am that bad, and I will get worse if I stay in the food or any other addictive substance. It is progressive, and I need help. I there's no way I can solve any addiction issues by myself, and I've proven that to myself over and over again. And I, you know, I tried every stupid thing to get abstinent and stay abstinent, or no, really, to get slim is what I wanted. And I have a great story about saying everything's fine. Like Charles H. brought that up this morning about, oh, I'm fine and I don't have any issues and there's nothing I need to talk about. There's a movie called Toys where Robin Williams, his dad owns a toy company and he made him a sister. It's a robot that looks like a girl. And he makes it grow up with him. So he has this adult sister that's actually a robot. And they get in a war and her head gets blown off and it's on the ground and the head is saying, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And that's how I am. And I need to talk about it when I'm not fine, you know, deal with resentments. And it's real easy for me to see what you did to me, but it's harder for me to see my part, and that's what I'm trying to work on right now. And I guess that's about all I have. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. We'll now have Dawn M. followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Dawn.
Hi, good morning. This is Dawn, compulsive overeater. I want to share that I was very blessed when I was 27 years old to have connected with a psychologist that was in recovery himself and also had a very spiritual component to his practice. And I did a lot of healing on my childhood issues that I worked on for many years. And then about 10 years ago, I guess, I really went into a place of a deep spiritual crisis and a very dark night of the soul where I was just totally lost and knew that I knew nothing, and swamped by my feelings of hopelessness. And I went back to this same therapist. And despite all of his wonderful skills and knowledge, I mean, he really is an international therapist. And he did tell me to go to OA. I had picked up the food again and I put on a significant amount of weight. And it wasn't until January of this year where I was home in isolation and just really feeling completely insane and just so heavily into the food that I started a 15-week 12-step study group. And it was really by working the steps in that group that I was able to put the food down and become abstinent. And just as importantly, I had a return to sanity where I was actually able to see the place that I was in and how scary and dark and dysfunctional that it really was. So while I completely believe in the help of a good therapist, I know without a doubt that that alone wasn't enough to bring about healing from this disease. That it really took
time, please.
With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. So next we'll have Jordan Al, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you all this morning. So I got this story, right? And it's like, I'm a pretty good storyteller. So it's convincing. I got this story and, I've been working on it for years. And it's up in my head and I just sort of like keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it, you know? And I got, like, I have some good examples, right? I'm part of the Disney generation and I love like Marvel movies about superheroes and stuff like that. Like I'm a good storyteller. And I've been telling myself this story for years and years and years. And just adding to it, you know, and looking for the evidence out in the world of confirmation of this story, you know, and approaching life from like this super, super biased perspective, you know. And it's funny because psychology, like at the center of it is like an unbiased perspective, right? So yeah, I'm not on board with that, right? When I first began this journey, because to be totally honest, when I come in, I have no idea that I'm being honest. And even if I have an inclination, or I have no idea that I'm being dishonest, and even if I have an inclination that I'm being dishonest, I don't know to what extent, you know? That's what the steps are for. Like, they show me this. They reveal to me the dishonesty, you know? And so I'm walking through these steps, and I'm being honest with another person for the first time ever, right? For me, it was a sponsor, not a psychologist. But the honesty grows, you know? And what it is that, like, what it is that I've come to understand is this storyline is, it's not a bad storyline, but I have to let it go because it's dishonest. Because the fact of the matter is, like, at the end of the day, this comes down to self-reliance. That's what's at the heart of my disease, is self-reliance. And if I'm telling myself this story up in my head,
Fine,
and I'm
please.
Living out of that story, then I stay in self-reliance. And in order to recover, I got to get out of it. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. We'll now have Christina J. followed by Jody E. Good morning, Christina.
Morning again, Brandy. Christina J., State of Washington. Grateful to be on the line. Okay, so three pages are going to be talking to us about getting honest here and not being afraid and finding someone we can be honest with. We just come off preparing our fourth step. We have all this stuff written down, and now they're really encouraging us to tell everything, be honest. And psychologists, I didn't really go to a specific psychologist. I went to a hypnotist once, but my telling of my story was in diet groups. The biggest part of those was Optifast, which you meet weekly and you share all your stuff and you do this ad nauseum writing of your history and the damage and the abuse and all this stuff. And I had looked at that for years in spiritual groups and circles. And here I was again looking at it, and I remember coming off that program and meeting the counselor in the hallway who never had been fat in her life and saying, I'm really wanting to eat again, I'm struggling. And she said, oh, just keep a food record and write down everything that you eat. And I just stood there and felt horrific, ridden with cravings and saying, in my mind, I said, she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand this. So I was never afraid to tell anybody anything. I sat in spiritual circles. I was very vulnerable. I shared everything, even things that people didn't want to hear. So what was the problem? And the problems for me was I figured there was a physical craving that I couldn't get rid of. I had to find the answer to that. And sure, I knew I ate from emotional buildup. I mean, that's obvious. People, even normal people, say, oh, I ate ice cream because I was nervous, so I had some ice cream. But the problem for me is I have an allergy. It makes me keep eating and eating and eating. So this fifth step is something that nobody ever did, and I'm sure no psychologist does, where we write down in that last column what our part is. And that's the revealing part, and that's the part we really get to look at someone with someone deeply. And it's the true honesty of who we are inside, what we've come to, how we've been living our life. And that's what did it for me. That was the ticket. So if you're afraid to give away your fifth step, don't be, because what are you going to do with all this stuff if you're not completely honest and want to just lay it out to someone you trust? What can you do with it? There's nowhere to go with it. You've got to give it away. Get some insight on it. My sponsor gave me beautiful insights that came back and opened up my spirit to even deeper revelations about what was here. How I'd been running my life, and I didn't know. I could forgive myself for being my selfishness and my self-centeredness, my dishonesty. And I saw how riddled with fear I was. There's so much to be seen in this, especially when you give it away. I call these 4 through 9 steps the humble steps, and I'm sure other people have said that. Humbled when you tell, I'll finish up, tell your deepest truth, and this is the beginning of a beautiful walk with God, because we have nowhere else to go, and we humble ourselves, and our addiction has brought us to this beautiful place. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. We now have Jody E followed by Kathleen O. And I'm just going to remind everyone where we're at. We're on page 73, the third paragraph. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. So, yeah, get your star one ready to unmute and after these two ladies. So, Jody E, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My name is Jody E, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. My experience with psychologists is that they were very well-meaning and helpful to a degree, but that my work in the 12 steps is all-encompassing, not only psychology, moral psychology, as is referred to in the big book even, but also spirituality, and also my disease of compulsive eating, which is a physical allergy. So the 12-step program of Overeaters Anonymous enables me to address all three levels of my disease, or perhaps even more levels than three. One psychologist I went to for a full year each week wanted to put me on antidepressants. And when he said he wanted me to go on antidepressants, I immediately thought, I don't need antidepressants. What I need is to get abstinent. I wasn't abstinent at the time. I was in OA, but I wasn't abstinent. And sure enough, when I did get abstinent from my alcoholic foods, my depression went away. So psychologists tend not to address our problem on all aspects, the physical as well as the psychological, and not always the spiritual either. So I'm so grateful for this 12-step program that enables me to deal with my problem on every level that is necessary. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Jody, Kathleen O, do you want to share with us?
I do, thank you. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive reader in Northern California. We have seldom told them the whole truth, unwilling to be honest. So these are key words in this step. And the previous paragraph tells us fear and tension, which I look at as our mental obsession, makes for more eating. So when I had resentments, when I feared this or I feared that or I worried about this or that, I would go to food, which didn't help when it came to dealing with my emotions. It would put them on the back burner for a tad, but ultimately it made things worse. So being honest with another person, it allows me to stay spiritually fit. And when I experience fear or resentments, I can be free by being honest that these are my problems, not the other person's problems, and I can own them. You know, therapists are great, but most don't understand the spiritual malady that we have. They can't relate to the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind unless they too are a compulsive overeater. So, you know, I realized that rather going on diet after diet, going to therapists, psychologists, I don't know that I went to a psychologist, but I did go to therapists, you know, always looking for the answers. I realized if I put as much effort into establishing a connection with a higher power and working these steps, I might actually find the solution to my problem because I sure wasn't finding it in those other places. So when I'm experiencing fear or self-pity, you know, I can make a self-appraisal and be honest with another person, which always gives me a good dose of humility. And I get to experience, some ego deflating as I stay abstinent. I can experience freedom and happiness. So being honest is very powerful. You know, we understand each other. And being honest with whoever we, in the program we give our step five to, We find the person that they're going to tell us that they're just like us. We learn humility and we learn we're not alone in step five. And, you know, we pocket our pride and we go to it. And at the end, we get the promises of peace and our fears fall from us. So, you know, step five, we start to get that personality change, but it really all centers on being honest And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, we'll now open up the lines for more shares. Again, if you've shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you refrain from sharing today and let others have a chance. And so, who would like to share?
Mary B. Mary B.
Irene B.
Mary B.
I have you, Mary.
Monica L.
Thank you.
Bridget K.
Sandy A.
Liz.
Okay, let me tell you who I have. So I have Mary B., Irene B., Kim A., Monica, I don't have your last initial. Monica, what's your last initial?
Liz in love.
Awesome. Bridget K., Sandy, and Liz. Sandy, I didn't get your last initial. Okay, you guys, Sandy and Liz, I didn't get your last initials, so you guys can just let me know what those are when you share. So let's not waste any more time. Mary B., go ahead and share with us.
Thank you, moderator. May I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mary B. I am a grateful recovered compulsive reader from Phoenix, Arizona. And this entire paragraph addresses the situation I was in some years ago, in and out of counseling, not honest with the counselor. You know the drill. Well, when I came to a vision for you over 4 years ago, I'd been in OA for 34 years. Couldn't get the program, couldn't get abstinent. It was all up in my head. The disease had me. I was down for the count. All I could think about is the next bite, the next compulsive obsessive bite. The food had me. The devil was my boss, all the things you want to say. But here's the thing that really hit me today, which is really interesting, those years of counseling. How could I tell these men and women the truth when I didn't even know the truth? I didn't even know the truth. The food was hiding the truth from me. The obsessive compulsive behavior was actually hiding the truth from me. It was killing me. I hope you understand what I mean. I never want to go back there again. I know the way out. I have found the way out, and it's in this book. It's through talking to people, lovely people like yourselves. It's through love and service to others. It's through being and spending time with my higher power. It's through working with others through sponsorship. I have a commitment to Overeaters Anonymous because Overeaters Anonymous has reached out to me. I'm the dead and the dying. I still have this disease. I'm going to have it to the grave. I love you all. Thank you for being a part of my recovery today. Thank you for continually showing up every day. I will pass with that. Thanks, moderator.
Thank you, Mary B. We'll now have Irene B. followed by Kim A. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B. And I'm not recovered from bulimia, but because I picked up one time, and then I've been okay with regard to the food since then. I don't know what I am, but I am grateful that I'm not in the food and that it was only one time. And I can't minimize it, but whatever. What we're talking about today is honesty and ability to be honest. I have a resentment for the psychological profession because they failed to diagnose me correctly. Approaching 40 therapists over my lifetime, over $1 million worth of therapy. And I just had so many preconceived notions about so many things. I assumed that certain things were not important. And I was looking for another therapist where there were no preconceived notions because I wear so many masks that not wanting to. I didn't set out to fool the therapist, but, you know, I do want people to think that I'm intelligent and that I have a grasp on things and that I fooled everyone, myself included, but out of desperation, given my circumstances, that, yes, I am abstinent from bulimia, but I'm almost non-functioning in my daily life, and I'm ashamed to say that. But, you know, that has nothing to do with anything. But then it's gotten so bad that I was looking for a therapist. And I started telling a stranger, just boom, 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 this is what's going on. And she promptly said, what you've described to me are all the classic symptoms of complex PTSD. And I was just aghast because I had no idea. No one had ever said that. But she couldn't take me because she had a full load. So I went back to my therapist and I told her what happened because my therapist had moved out of town and I just wanted to see somebody face to face. And ever since I went back to her, October, after I found out what my husband's been doing, we've been working on this. And, oh my gosh, 40 years in bulimia, over $1 million in therapy, and no one knew. And it's not that I was trying to be dishonest. I just didn't know. So this program and others are helping me to see that which I couldn't see, in addition to the things I'm afraid to reveal and with that I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene. All right, so next up we have Kim A, followed by Monica L. Kim A, good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Kim A from New York City. Man, that word truth, that's a big word. And when I found a sponsor after 18 years chronically relapsing in OA and went a different direction and found a sponsor to take me through the steps exactly as they're written in the big book. When I did my fifth step, I was really quite shocked at the level of my dishonesty. I thought I was a pretty honest person, and when my sponsor helped me see things from a different angle, which is kind of her job as part of, you know, in doing step five, I was really shocked. And that was about 2.5 years ago. And food is really a very, very small part of my illness, is what I have come to realize. It's actually not a part of my illness. My illness is all about that spiritual malady and, you know, this need for power, which I now understand has to come from a higher power. And the food was just what I used as a solution. A solution from what? A solution from my dishonesty that I didn't even see clearly. And so after 2.5 years of being recovered, it's still being revealed to me slowly how dishonesty pervades every area of my thinking. Not because I'm a bad person, but because I'm a sick person and I have delusional thinking. And for those 18 years that I was chronically relapsing, I was trying to manage my food every which way. You know, I was weighing and measuring, and I was following a food plan, and I was seeing a nutritionist, and I was avoiding certain foods and ingredients, and I was doing everything that I thought I should be doing, but I still couldn't get my shit together. And now I see that it's because I wasn't getting down to those causes and conditions. I wanted to, I just didn't know how to, and I couldn't find a sponsor who really understood that the instructions in the big book are what help us get there. And it's this dishonesty and this delusional thinking I have and my selfishness and, you know, all that good stuff, that's what leads me to food. It wasn't the sugar. It wasn't the, you know, the food plan not being right. It was my dishonesty. And so, you know, as long as I'm willing to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 and be open to the truth that my sponsor helps me see and the truth that my higher power helps me see, then the food isn't much of an issue for me. And sometimes I'm still, like, upset when I come to sort of a new level of seeing some dishonesty in my thinking. But that is...
Time, please.
Thanks. That's substituted by gratitude for having a program and having a great sponsor. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kimmy. Monica L., if you want to share with us, please. Good morning, Monica.
Hi, good morning. This is Monica, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am pretty new to this program, although I have a sponsor now. And but I do have, you know, 18 years in the original program, and so this is not a new concept for me, and I love the paragraph, and thank you all for your shares. I just want to bring in that for me, my higher power has been working over, you know, almost the past couple of decades through the teachers that come around me. And my sponsor has been very important in getting me through the steps. And my therapist has been very important in my life as well, because they don't need to overlap. And for me, my higher power has really been working as a basket, and literally a basket that has held me in my recovery. And that includes my therapist, my sponsor, my fellows in the program, because it's important for me to be honest with them. And when they talk to me, I can say, me too. I don't want to keep secrets anymore in my life. And that's how I've been trying to live my life. Food is the last one. Well, for now, I don't know. There's probably more. But I just want to, you know, it's okay to look for outside help. The more honest I am with teachers around me that come into my life, the greater my recovery. And it doesn't have to be limited to my sponsor, limited to the big book. My God is big and wide, and the basket is large and holds me. So that's it. It was my first share in the meeting, and I'm sorry if it wasn't perfect, but thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Monica. We are never perfect, so we're glad that you shared with us. The next person I have is Bridget K., followed by Sandy. Bridget K., good morning.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. It is such a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for this meeting. It's meant so much to me. I've only been in OA for a year. This paragraph, I was just talking about honesty yesterday at my meeting. Yesterday with my therapist, we were talking, and she was listening to me describe a vacation and how I was avoiding sugar, and I brought my food, and she literally said to me, you know, can't you just be on vacation and have a little bit? And it's so hard when people can't understand, and it made me think about the dishonesty in my life. It's hard to know whether it was food, the allergy, that made me practice dishonesty more, or if dishonesty was something that was so ingrained in myself from a small age. I don't really know. I know that I've always been a sugar addict, but that started with my family. I'm dishonest with my family. I wasn't honest how many cookies did I have? I wasn't honest with, you know, how I felt. You know, I wanted to make everything be well. I wanted to be the perfect littlest girl, the youngest child of nine. And when it came to OA, you know, my therapist told me for a couple of years, same woman, wonderful, wonderful person, but she told me I should, you know, probably think about OA when I told her about some of my problems. And even I have struggled being honest with her 100%, but Then with my sponsor, you know, not telling her everything that I actually was eating. I would tell her some things, but I would leave out others and the honesty. So rough. It's so hard. It takes so much energy. Keeping secrets is hard on our hearts. It's so awful. And secrets from my husband, I wouldn't tell him what I was eating. You know, I didn't want it. I certainly didn't want him to know. And you know, who could I be honest with? Who was I being honest with? Was I being honest with my sponsor? I thank God so much that I'm able to be honest with my current sponsor. She is so, so, so loving. She's so loving that I am able to say everything that I need. And thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Bridget. Sandy, you're up next, followed by Liz.
This is Sandy A. A is an apple from Ohio. And I wanted to share that for the last several years, I've worked with a psychologist who is an addictions counselor, and she recommended OA to me. And she's been very helpful. Somebody recently, just a friend of mine, asked recently if OA or my therapist was more helpful. And I really struggled to answer that because my therapist has been very helpful to me. She zeroed right in on my eating disorder. She has been very helpful. She recommended OA to me. She's also recommended other 12-step programs to me. And it was really hard for me to answer because I think both of them have been helpful to me. One sort of complemented the other. I have had counselors who didn't, zero in on that, my eating disorder, but that was what I needed at that time from them. But, I can never live without OA. I'm always going to need OA. I might not always need therapy, but I'm always going to need OA. So I think all of those therapists, OA, sponsoring, my sponsor has helped me be honest with myself. I've always valued honesty, but I still need work with that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sandy. I'll now ask Liz to take us out. Liz? Good morning.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. I just have to say how warm and safe I feel on this meeting. I'm very grateful for it. I lived in New York for 35 years. I was born and raised there, and I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety disorder in my late 20s. I had the privilege of seeing some incredibly talented psychiatrists, but the first thing I always said when I walked in the door was, I have an eating disorder. I'm not here to be cured because I knew they couldn't, and I didn't want to waste any time in an effort to try and change that. And the other advantage I had was that all of them were aware of 12-step programs and fully supported them. Obviously the main reason for my seeing them was another disease, but I was able at times to talk about OA, and one of my doctors said most of the remarkable things when I was talking about having trouble with God. And he said to me, do you think maybe you are projecting your low self-esteem and anger onto God? And that came out of the mouth, just out of nowhere, out of a psychiatrist. And when I thought about it, he was absolutely right. So, you know, sometimes we get this remarkable advice and support from the last place we expect. And I just want to say I'm grateful for the help I received. I'm grateful that one of my doctors said, I think I need to go back to OA when I hadn't gone for a year. And I'm grateful for the help that I get from Vision. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz. All right. So We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie Ebe please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Julie Ebe, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.